You're listening to Express Yourself on KDNK, and I am honored to be joined by Caleb Walker. You may know him from Caleb's Catch at the farmers markets up and down the Roaring Fork Valley. How are you, Caleb?
I'm doing great, Raleigh. I appreciate you having me on today.
So to begin, we will be talking about a film screening coming up. However, I did want to start with you talking a little bit about how you got into this business of wild-caught salmon.
Yeah, so I moved to Colorado in 06 and, moved here to be a hunting guide, and that was kind of what brought me out here. But growing up as a kid, my brother fished in Alaska in the early 90s. And so as a 10-year-old, my brother would come home from his adventures in Alaska and, tell me about his fishing adventures up there as a commercial fisherman. So that kind of stuck as a kid, something I always kind of wanted to do. So once I moved out here in 2008, I decided that, if I'm going to do this at 25, I better get rolling. It's kind of a young man's thing. Mm-hmm. So my brother actually hooked me up with a skipper based out of Asheville, North Carolina, which is where my brother's at. And I got hired over the phone and flew up to Alaska and met my skipper for the first time in the boatyard there in Dillingham, in Bristol Bay, Alaska. And so we're mostly a sockeye fishery in Bristol Bay. It's the largest sockeye fishery in the world. It supplies over 50% of the world's sockeye salmon. I think, and there's some stats over the last 5 years, they've had a sustainable, return of 250 million salmon over the last 5 years returned to Bristol Bay.
Wow.
There's five rivers that feed Bristol Bay. The Nooshigak and the Kwijak are the two largest sockeye fisheries in the world. We were based on the Nooshigak River. So the last 3 years, they've had over 60 million fish return each year. And we have to have, to bring in the sustainability part of the fishery, we have to have a minimum escapement to the spawning grounds, the headwaters of the fishery, past the fishing grounds, before we're allowed to start fishing as commercial fishermen. And that ensures that we're going to have a prosperous, a good return in the future before they even allow us to start fishing. And then once we do start fishing, they give us openers that usually start out 4 to 6 hours at a time. And then once things ramp up, the peak this season tends to be around the 4th of July. At that point, depending on how that season's return is, we could be doing, full 24-hour openers as long as we have that minimum escapement to the spawning grounds.
So are those practices for the sustainable fishing something relatively new, or has that been in place for a long time?
It's been in place for probably close to 100 years up there. I'm sure things have been tweaked, mm-hmm. More and more. They have sonar towers these days kind of up towards the lake systems where all those fish are going, with state biologists and whatnot that are taking counts to figure out that minimum escapement. So I'm sure there's a lot of technology there that's been advanced over the years. The fishery started out, 100 years ago with actually they're in sailboats, before, the diesel engines and gas engines with the boats these days. But it's a rich history. And then it's been a return that's been happening for thousands of years and is a huge part of the local native, way of life. Mm-hmm. So.
And there's a deep understanding of how to keep it a sustainable industry.
Exactly, yeah.
And so what is your business, Caleb's Catch, here? I mentioned the Roaring Fork Valley, but you're also in the Eagle Valley.
Right, yeah. I fished from 2008 to 2012 up in Bristol Bay, and then I started the business in 2009. So the first farmer's market that I did was a Saturday market in Glenwood. We do markets mostly these days between Vail and Basalt. But at the high point, we were down in Denver as well. We probably did 12 markets a week. Our main focus is the summertime with the farmers markets. I usually do anywhere from 5 to 6 a week, and then my wife does 2 a week. And it's mostly my wife, Sol, and I that run the business. We have a little help in the summer. But regarding farmers markets, we're the main ones that do that. And then going into the fall and winter of the season or the year, we've started doing more pop-ups where we kind of roll into different locations. We stop at the Roaring Fork Valley Co-op here in Carbondale on Wednesdays from 3 to 5. So we're doing a lot of those pop-up events now in the wintertime to kind of extend our season. And then we do a farmers market in Fort Collins as well. But mostly retail is where we're at. We are at a couple local wholesale, organic groceries like Mana Foods and Skip's Farm to Market and Basalt and Silt. Those are our main wholesale locations. And then we did provide salmon for about 7 years to a company called Door to Door Organics. I'm not sure if they ever made it this far over. I think their stop was Gypsum as far as they came up to the Glenwood Springs Canyon, but they were based out of Boulder, Broomfield area. And we started out with them down there. And before they shut their doors a few years ago, they were in 18 states that we were providing seafood into. So,
do you source your fish from the same fishery or multiple, always from Bristol Bay?
Yeah, our sockeye salmon, all of my buddies are still up there, own boats. So they're all in Bristol Bay. That's where we source all of our sockeye salmon. And then, of course, our value-added stuff is coming from that same salmon as well with our spreads and smoked items, jerky, whatnot. And then regarding the rest of our seafood items like halibut and cod, scallops, shrimp, crab, all that stuff is all wild U.S. caught and processed Alaskan seafood. We do carry a few items from Key West. Our shrimp is from Key West, but that is our main focus, to be a U.S. caught and processed product. So
Caleb's Catch is hosting a film on Tuesday, March 10th at the 3rd Street Center. Could you tell us a little bit about this film, The Wild?
Yeah, so The Wild is, we're really good friends with the director. We've known him with a previous documentary that he did a few years back called The Breach. The Breach is more pertaining to humans' impact with salmon fisheries across the world. It kind of starts over in Europe, and how that was kind of demised with just overfishing, and then the east coast of the U.S. Depleted, stocks, then it kind of rolls over into the west coast and dam issues and whatnot, and how the farm salmon is kind of coming up in British Columbia, and how we've kind of, screwed up these fisheries worldwide. And then it kind of ends with Pebble Mine and Bristol Bay being the last, full ecosystem that's still in working order that we haven't messed up. And we need to learn from our mistakes in the past and not screw this last viable fishery up. So that's kind of how The Breach works, that documentary. With The Wild, it comes back in and focuses on Bristol Bay sockeye fishery and the proposed Pebble Mine at the headwaters of the Nooshigak and the Kwajalein Rivers. Pebble Mine is potentially going to be the largest open pit mine in North America for copper, gold, and molybdenum. And of course, it would be at the headwaters of the two largest sockeye fish producing rivers in the world. And so that's kind of how The Wild is kind of bringing back or talking about that proposed mine and what we can do to protect it and prevent it is the main focus there.
What kind of impact would a mine of that size have on the Bristol Bay?
There's several things. You're kind of opening a doorway. Once you have approval for one mine, it kind of opens up this gate to release all the mining companies into this area that's been protected with clean water and whatnot. to allow them access, because they're building infrastructure, essentially. And it's giving them access to all these other deposits. So it's kind of opening the floodgates. Even though they're saying their mine location's only this big, it's just opening the doors to let all this other stuff happen. And the problems with the location is there's a lot of water up there, and water's connected to everything. So, you know, once you open that up, you're going to have a tailings pond that's just going to be one of the most massive tailings pond in the world, held back by an earthen dam, in a very seismic active area, you know, with earthquakes and whatnot. And that dam is going to need to stay intact for eternity, essentially. So you're just asking for failure. We've watched failures with these types of dams happen recently in the news. I think there was one in Brazil. There was a couple in Canada. You know, it's bound to happen eventually. Something's going to go wrong. And then once those things are released out into this, you know, massive delta, essentially connecting Bristol Bay, those tailings affect the salmon's sense of smell, which they rely on to get back to their spawning grounds. Not to mention just all the other damage you're going to cause, you know, in the local ecosystems. So
if that dam were to fail, then it would spill heavy metals into the whole aquifer, and who knows what kind of damage that could have long term.
Yeah, it's a scary situation for sure. So,
and so this film touches on what's going on with Bristol Bay, with this pebble mine. And you'll also have the director available for questions and answers?
Yeah, so Mark Titus will be there for a Q&A. He's based out of Seattle. He's getting ready to start a 50-city nationwide tour regarding these screenings across the nation. So he'll be available for Q&A at the event. It is a free screening, so we would love to have you guys out. We've done a couple screenings in the past over in the Vail Valley or the Eagle Valley. This is our first screening in the Roaring Fork Valley, and we're super excited about this because we've had a lot of interest over the years about us doing screenings over here. So we'd love for y'all to come out to the free screening. You know, we are asking for a $5 donation in regards to just covering the venue, and any excess donations that we receive that would go to savebristolbay.org. But we're trying to make it a lot of fun. We're going to have door prizes and a bunch of swag and stuff to give away, so it'll be a fun event.
Great. And KDNK news reporter Amy Haddon Marsh will be on site tabling for KDNK, supporting this film showing, especially in regards to the news at KDNK as part of our spring membership drive. Could you describe how you came into this kind of activism?
Yeah, so when I first went to Bristol Bay in 2008, I showed up. It's a very small fishing village in the middle of nowhere. It's about a three-hour flight from Anchorage to get to Dillingham. The only way to access Dillingham is by boat or plane. So I showed up in Dillingham, met my skipper, and then within a day or two of being there in the boatyard, we have our boats dry docked on land. We're kind of prepping for the season, getting the boat ready, the nets ready, and all that good stuff. So we're actually living in the boat on land. But in the boatyard, within a couple of days, they were like, hey, you know, come and check this out. We're going to have a little premiere of Red Gold, which is the first documentary that I did a screening for probably 7 or 8 years ago. And so we set up in the boatyard, we put a sheet up, and somebody had a projector, and it was probably one of the first premieres of Red Gold right there. And, you know, it's just it really draws you in. I think we've actually donated the documentary to all the local libraries, so if you want to check that out. But I got to looking around in the crowd there at the screening. There's probably 150 people maybe. And, you know, the majority of people in the documentary were sitting right there with me watching the video or the screening. And it just really grabbed me at that moment. And I was like, wow, I'm a part of this. You know, this is my introduction to Bristol Bay. And so since then, we've done two screenings over in the Vail Valley, Red Gold and The Breach, as I mentioned earlier. And now we've got The Wild, which we were kind of associate producers with The Wild. We helped fund part of the documentary with Mark Titus. He's been working on this for a couple years now. So we're going to have the showing here in Carbondale, the community hall at the Third Street Center on Tuesday, March 10th. And that screening starts at 6:30. And then we'll also be doing a showing over in Edwards at the Riverwalk Theater on Wednesday, March 11th. And that screening also starts at 6:30. Regarding, you know, activism and education, I really take pride in educating our clients at the farmers markets of why our seafood is wild and sustainable. You know, some of the things that I've, you know, touched on today, that's something that I really enjoy taking the time to explain why we're sustainable fishery and we have these minimum escapements and we're ensuring that we're going to have these returns, you know, for our kids, you know, in future generations. So that's a big part of what we do, you know, with our business, you know, just bringing awareness of sustainable seafood.
And these film showings are timely, given what happens in July, right?
Yeah. So this is going to be, brought up probably on the Senate floor and eventually to President Trump on, you know, signing off on it or not signing off on it. So we're at a really crucial time with the proposed Pebble Mine and to give as much feedback on why we're against this right now. So one of the big questions with The Wild is how do you save what you love? And what you can do is reach out to your local senators and touch base with them on why it's important not to back this mine. We need to save this. We can't mess up again. You know, we've messed up in all these other places. We need to protect this area. It's just really important moving forward. And there's also a website called SaveBristolBay.org that you can go check out. And there's a couple different places that you can click on, Stand Up for Bristol Bay and tell President Trump to stop Pebble Mine. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, come out and see the screening. You know, it'll really get your blood flowing. You know, it's a great documentary, and I think everybody would love it if you could make it out.
So once again, that's on Tuesday, March 10th at the Third Street Center. Starts at 6:30. Amy Haddon Marsh will be there tabling for Katie and Kay. And for people who want to learn more about this issue and contribute their voice, SaveBristolBay.org is another resource if they can't make it out to the showing.
Right, right. And I want to just thank all of our clients in the Valley, the Rowing Fork. You know, I wouldn't be here today talking to you if we didn't have your support over the last 10 years. And just know that you are already supporting Bristol Bay fishermen by, you know, taking these sockeye salmon fillets home for dinner for your family. So I just want to really let you know that we appreciate all your support in the past and would love to see you out at the screening. And, you know, you can always vote with your fork, and I'll be over here today at the Roaring Fork Valley Co-op. We set up over there Wednesdays from 3 to 5 as well. But I'm really excited about this and hope to see you at the screening.
Well, Caleb Walker with Caleb's Catch, thank you so much for joining Katie and Kay.
Thank you, Raleigh. And y'all have got a lot of stuff going on around here right now as well. I think you're doing your drive.
That's right.
Over the next few weeks. So
March is filled with events. You can check them all out at katieandk.org. And we're really happy to be presenting this film along with Caleb's Catch. It's certainly a topic that speaks to us and our values.
Yeah, thanks, Raleigh. Thanks for having me.